The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Coming to you cordless, everybody. It's 11:02 on the East Coast of the United States, 8:02 on the West Coast, 10:02 where I'm sitting here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm Jim Peters, and welcome to another edition of Jim Peters at Night. I did not do the count. I think this is episode number 25, I think. It's the start of our eighth week. Yeah, we made it this far. Who the hell would know? Hope you had a good weekend. It rained all day here. I went to lunch with a friend of mine on Sunday morning, yesterday morning, and he said, "My God, you look happy." And I'm thinking, well, you know, here's the deal. I'm going to be 68 in 2 weeks. It's the beginning of the end. Might as well laugh. You know, shit. You know, who knows how long this is going to go on. My mother's 99 years old. I think I've told you that. I'm trying to get her on the show. Now, she was on my radio shows previously several times. But that's on the telephone. That's easy. This is harder. She's not particularly technologically adept, as you might imagine, at 99. And I can't get any of my relatives in the town that she lives in to help me, which is, you'd think, because my sister said, "Why don't you just have her, you know, have her over for the weekend and, sit her down in the studio?" Well, we're not equipped to do in-person interviews. And not only that, I kind of don't want to. So I don't know if you guys know this, so... You know, Nightline is still on TV. You can still watch it, I think, at 12:05 Eastern Time. I think right after Kimmel, if I'm right. I think that's when it is. Or 11:35, whenever it is. It's been on television for like 35 years. It started during the Carter administration as a countdown to when the hostages were taken in Iran. And they thought it would only be on TV, a few weeks. Well, those hostages weren't released for 444 days. So that program ran for over a year. And in the meantime, they started to get pretty good ratings. And then Ted Koppel's hosting it. And then they're getting really good ratings. They said, "Well, fuck it, let's let this ride." And they regularly beat all the talk shows. You know, there's a very famous... billboard that was in New York City. Jay Leno put up a billboard that said number one in late night, and Letterman put up a billboard right across the street that said, with his smiling mug, that said number three in late night, you know. But the thing is, he was number three because Nightline was number two. The reason I'm bringing all of that up is because Koppel famously did not have, I mean, that show, he did that show for like 25 years. And I think he only had like less than a half a dozen interviews or guests on in the studio with him. He didn't like to do it. Matter of fact, if people came to the studio, they put them in another room, so he actually couldn't see them face to face. He liked the idea of dealing with somebody like through the magic of the TV, and he didn't want to look at their face while he was doing it. And I'm so used to this now, I'm starting to think the same thing. I don't know if I want to actually interview anybody, you know, in person. And so, and my mother, and we're not set up to do it really anyway. So my mother, "Well, why don't you just bring her into the studio?" Well, no, can't do that. So anyway, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Not only that, it rained all weekend here. And it's still raining. I think they got some sort of record at the Minneapolis airport or something. So let me tell you what's going to happen here. We got a big show tonight. We got a big show. Big shows. Big shoes all weekend. Tomorrow we have a guest. Can't announce it yet. Haven't actually confirmed it, but I'm pretty certain we're going to have one. Wednesday. Now listen up. This is really cool. Wednesday, there's going to be the second Republican primary debate on Fox Business, and they're simulcasting on Fox News. Now we did this the first time, but but the first time I was alone. We're going to go live as soon as that debate's done. Now, it's supposed to end at our normal starting time, but whenever that is, we're going live. So as soon as it's over, it's supposed to end at 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. We're going to go live as soon. Now this time we're having a panel discussion. We have two guests on. We have former intelligence operative Don Zorro is joining us, and Jeffrey Meyer, the publisher of Conk News, the conservative news aggregator, he's going to join us. So we're going to have a little we're going to talk about what happened in the debate, and I have a little announcement to make too. Starting next week, Jeffrey Meyer, the CEO and publisher of Conk News, will be joining us every other Thursday, twice a month. So now Jeffrey's done a podcast for a couple of 2-3 years now. It's excellent. I guess he, and I think I got this right today, I think he's going to dump it, if I'm right, which is the reason he actually asked, can I come on? Yeah, sure, you can come on. Because the thing is, Jeffrey's podcast is excellent because Jeffrey has a take on pretty much anything, especially his wheelhouse is, he's a businessman and entrepreneur. That's his wheelhouse, but even politics, anything. He always seems to have a unique take on almost anything. And for that reason, you may not agree with him, but he's a really, really interesting guy. So I'm looking forward to this. We're going to have him on the first and third Thursday of the month, starting next Thursday. Now, this Thursday, we have on Larry Newman, Bigfoot investigator. Larry's been to a couple of Bigfoot conferences recently. He has stuff to talk about. He went into the Ozarks with a bunch of people looking for Bigfoot, and he says they found him. So that's going to be really interesting, too. You know, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to poo-poo what Larry does at all, but the Bigfoot people are even weirder than the UFO people. That's what I think. But because the thing is, this creature, you know, I mean, this is kind of like a Ron White joke about the elusive deer. Have you ever heard this joke? So Ron White says, this is one of part of his routine. He says, His brother-in-law asked him to go deer hunting with him, and he said, well, I'm not really into that. And he said, yeah. He said, you know, you don't want to be out in a deer blind at 5 o'clock in the morning freezing your ass off with deer urine on your boots. And then the guy says, yeah, I got one straight between the eyes with a bullet going 1,700 miles an hour. And Ron says, wow, that's a really elusive creature. I killed one with my van going 55 miles an hour. And yeah, that's kind of the joke. But the thing about Bigfoot is, my God, all right, so Larry said that apparently they went out, and one person in their party, they said they all heard it, but one person apparently saw the Bigfoot. Larry has said previously, he's a very, very conscientious investigator. And all, he's also a bail bondsman by profession. And we're going to talk to him about, you know, that's a big deal right now. We're going to have a separate discussion with him in the next couple of weeks about that. But he's coming on to talk about Bigfoot on Thursday. And he says, I asked him point blank on a previous show, I said, have you seen Bigfoot? And he said, yes and no. I've never seen Bigfoot with my own eyes, but I've seen Bigfoot through an infrared camera. And I believe him. And he said he saw a family of Bigfoot, and in the middle of the night in the middle of nowhere. And he said it was very obviously that they were human-like figures walking around. And he says that was enough for him. He said that convinced him that Bigfoot was real. But this, you know, my joke with the Bigfoot thing is that there's 12 television shows on like the Travel Channel, History Channel, all about people chasing Bigfoot, and they never find Bigfoot, and these shows all get renewed. It's the only television show in America where you can get renewed by failing. It's just amazing. The other thing about Bigfoot, and I've said this before, and this really seems to be true, which was interesting about this thing about him going to the Ozarks a couple of weeks ago. And this is a bona fide fact. I'm not joking here. It appears that if you go out looking for Bigfoot, you'll never find him. The people who see Bigfoot are the people who take their family into the national park to have a picnic on a Saturday afternoon. Those are the people who see Bigfoot. The people who aren't looking for Bigfoot are the people who always see Bigfoot. And seriously, you got to think about this. I'm starting to think if this creature is real, and I'm leaning toward the fact that it is, God damn it, it must be smart. It's eluded humans for hundreds of years. No one's ever caught this thing. Now, supposedly, that's not true. Supposedly, in a wildfire in California 2-3 years ago, and we will talk with Larry about this too, because I've talked to him about this on a previous show. Supposedly, the Forest Service, the National Park Service, rescued badly hurt Bigfoot, and who knows where they took him. But apparently they did. That's been rumored for years and years, and I can't remember what the exact location is. Maybe Larry knows. But during a wildfire, they basically saved this Bigfoot's life. And so the rumor is that the government knows Bigfoot's real. So I don't know. I don't know. I have a friend who laughs and laughs about this. I have a friend who watches the show, and he just thinks this Bigfoot stuff is so freaking hilarious. It's unbelievable because he doesn't buy it to save his life. And I understand, because the thing is, okay, hundreds of years, like, where's the body, how come we don't have one? And that's a good question. That's legitimate. So anyway, that's Thursday. Next week, we're going to have on, I've been promoting Mark Tapscott coming back on the show all week long. He couldn't make it because, first of all, like I said, he called us, so I assumed it was going to happen. But then it turns out he's going to the debate on Wednesday, so his schedule is completely full. He's referred us to another guy at the Epoch Times, another congressional reporter, Nathan Wooster, who I've talked to before, too. Great guy, great reporter. And he's going to the debate on Wednesday, too, but he's agreed to talk to us next week sometime. So hopefully he'll be on. Now, there's another thing that happened, too. I've talked about this a couple times before. I'm driving around in the afternoon, and I'm listening. I keep weird hours, folks. Does this surprise you? This show really is live, you're seeing me at a 2-second delay over the inner tube. I'm sitting in my studio in Minneapolis, and who knows where the hell you are. I mean, you could be in Australia for all I know. I got a note from a guy in Australia. He does watch this. But I keep weird hours. I generally don't do anything before noon. I don't, because the thing is, we're going to be done with this run 11:30 tonight Central Time. I'm talking my time now. 11:30 Central. It takes me a while to come down from this. It's a lot of thinking, a lot of thinking on your feet. And I'll go to bed between 1 and 2 o'clock. Okay, so I'll sleep till about 10, and then I'm picking my nose on the TV again. I've never been good in the morning ever, and I think this runs in my family. At least my mother's side of the family, we all seem to be night people. So, I mean, I still remember, and this had a big influence on me, and I do not understand why she did this, but as a 7-8-year-old boy, she let me stay up to watch Carson, which has started at 10:30 here in Minnesota. Till midnight, and I'm going to school. What the hell? I'm 8 years old. Carson started in 1962. I'm 8 years old. But my mother let me do that because she was doing it. She was staying up till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. So, I generally don't do anything before noon. So I'm usually, I will run errands maybe around 4 or 5 o'clock around dinner time. And I'm driving around. And so Joe Pags, who's one of the most talented radio people in the conservative arena right now, him and Dana Lash and Chris Plant are the people who stick out to me because they have their gig. Their gigs are not like milquetoast. They're not like everybody else's. Pegs is pretty funny. He's also got a pretty big crew too. He's got I'm going to mention his newsreader, Kerry Lockie, later on. But anyway, I'm listening to Pegs, and he's talking about, to my amazement, he's talking about the fact that he has pretty trouble getting people to call into his show. And he mentions the fact that, people want to be, in this age of the internet, people want to be anonymous. And, I've talked about this too. We do not get a lot of calls here, and they're video calls. And the thing is, it's right there. You go to jimandnight.com/call. There's a big blue button on the screen. It doesn't matter what device you're on. You can do it from your iPhone, anywhere. There's a big blue button at the top of that screen, and you press that button. You're taken to a preview screen. You get to check out your camera and mic and make sure you look wonderful and your hair is all bedded and stuff like that, and then you press the join button and you're in the queue and I put you on the air. It's really simple. I've asked every person who's called in so far. It's simple. It's pie. David from San Francisco, longtime caller, he said it was harder to find the website than it was to actually call. That's what he said. And it's true. It's really simple. But the thing, and I've talked about this, but, you know, me, Master of the Obvious, you know, doofus, I didn't really put this together and didn't really hit me till Pag started talking about it, about how people want to be anonymous. I know that there's a lot of people who don't want their picture on the screen. I understand that. And we also, in the there's instructions below that button if you need to read them. You can mute your camera, and we have people have done it. We even not only have we had callers do it, we've even had a couple of guests have done it. Like the first time Mark Tapscott, we talked to him, and he's going to be a regular on the show. He did not use his camera because he was in a place where he couldn't. It would be uncomfortable for him to do that. So he did audio only. But Pegs brought up the fact, and this is true, and that is, okay, I know people don't want their face on the screen, but the thing is right now, the internet is basically based on anonymity, and it's stupid. And the thing is, yeah, if you put your face on the screen, you're not anonymous anymore. It doesn't matter whether you change your name, you know, people are going to recognize you, and they are. And I don't know what to tell you about that. I think you just have some balls and do it. That's what I think, you know, but like I said, you don't have to, you know, we'll take audio. You can do audio only. It's really easy. It is. But you know, this trolling thing is bullshit. I've talked about this before. I was involved with social media at the very, very beginning as a programmer and as a developer. And I'll be honest, I regret my contribution. At this point, I think social media has done more harm than good, even though it does do some good. I mean, I'm admitting that too. It's not completely evil, but it's been twisted. And the example that I ran in the late 1990s, Web 1.0, you know, I got in the internet when there were only like 400 commercial websites on the entire internet. I regard the start of the commercial internet as the month, which is it's April 1995, when Yahoo went from a website at Stanford University to Yahoo.com, when they actually set up their own server. That's what I regard as the start of the commercial internet, even though it did start before that. There were commercial websites on before that. But for all practical purposes, you know, you got to draw a line somewhere. That's where I'm drawing it. That was the start of the commercial internet. You have to understand, Amazon as a company started in July of 95, but they didn't make their first sale online. They didn't open their website till June of 96. And, you know, and then you think, and I had people telling me this, and it's really, how do you put your credit card over the internet and there's no security or there's no encryption or nothing? Well, yeah, because that's because in 1995, you had a better chance of having your credit card number ripped off by some waiter at a restaurant that you gave your credit card to than online, because there are so few people online. And there, not only that, nobody knew how to scam anybody. People barely understood the technology. Anyway, I'm going on here, and I got a point to make. So, okay, so my point is, yeah, I know that you maybe don't want your face on the screen. Well, okay, first of all, you don't have to do that, but I would say just buck up and do it. I'm sorry, I got my face on the screen, and here's you know, you're talking about, yeah, not all the good things are good things. So let me tell you what happened this weekend. On Thursday, we did this fantastic interview with Patrick Moore, Dr. Patrick Moore, climatologist, former founder of Greenpeace, right? The interview's an hour long. It's getting massive views on Rumble. The last time I checked, I think almost 2,000 people have watched it. The people who weren't watching much live, but since then, and not only that, get a load of this. This is the part that pisses me off. Only hours after that interview was posted on YouTube flagged us for misinformation. Yes, folks, I'm a misinformation specialist. And I don't know, I don't quite understand how this works. I don't know if first of all, YouTube did flag us. But I don't know if they did because of their own accord or because on a recommendation of the UN. They put up what's called a contextual link that said that climate change, you know, just this bullshit about climate change is an existential threat and all that shit. They put that up, and then they link to a page on climate change on the UN website, which I'm going to put a link on our blog tomorrow. We will link to that page so you can read a bunch of crap, okay? And I really, really, I mean, it was only like 3 hours. And all of a sudden, I'm a misinformation specialist. There you go, folks. That's your internet. That's your inner tubes in action right there. You know, that's people ganging up. And meanwhile, I'm not the only person who, you know, Dr. Moore and I talked about this. And first of all, if you haven't seen the interview, you should watch it. I recommend you watch it on Rumble. I'm sending every, basically, we even put a little note on our watch page on the website this morning about the fact we recommend you watch the show on Rumble, both live and archived, just because they're treating us the best. And also, it's their interface is, frankly, the simplest. It's YouTube is a mess. There's so much stuff on there. And I understand they're trying to build the airplane while it's in midair. This website, YouTube, started as a place where people can post any video they want. And it still is primarily that. But for people who are doing serious shows like we're doing, especially live shows, they've basically had to bolt that on. It's hard to find the live menu on YouTube. It exists, you know, and we're on it right now, this very second. But it's hard to find it. It's even harder on the YouTube app for television. They've buried it. But Rumble, God bless them, they're right up there. And I'll be perfectly blunt, too. The vast majority of our viewership so far in the last 8 weeks has come from Rumble. The vast majority of it. But I recommend you watch it. Go watch it. But the thing, we talked about this, about the fact that there's no, folks, I cannot tell you this enough. There's no bigger grift on the entire planet right now than the climate change quote-unquote debate. Now, just yesterday, no, actually not yesterday, a couple weeks ago, I'm reading this. This is from justthenews.com. And the amazing thing is, I think this happened, excuse me, hold on a second. I need a little water. If I'm right, this happened a couple of years ago, too, so I'm glad that they did it again. I'm going to read this from an article on justthenews.com. A coalition of 1,609 scientists from around the world has signed a declaration stating, quote, there is no climate emergency, and that they, quote, strongly oppose the harmful and unrealistic net zero CO2 policies being pushed around on the globe. I'm to continue. The declaration itself does not demonize carbon monoxide and does not discuss any harmful effect of other pollutants. The thrust of the declaration challenges their hysteria brought about by the narrative of an imminent doom. And I'm thinking, well, Jesus, did they just grab that right off of Dr. Moore, the title of Dr. Moore's book, which is Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom? I mean, shit, you know? But they're saying the same thing. And, you know, and I just want to be precise here. Now, in his interview, Dr. Moore said that he is of the opinion that there's no damage done to the environment from more CO2 whatsoever. There are scientists who disagree with him that there might be some if the levels get too high. I think he explained in perfect detail why it's not a problem, because, you know, he said that not only has there been more CO2 that right now we're in almost a bottom period for CO2 on the planet. But one of the things about greenhouses, you know, they're talking about greenhouse gases. One of the things about greenhouses is they pump CO2 into greenhouses to get the plants to grow more. And he pointed out that in a commercial greenhouse, right now, the parts per million of CO2 on the planet is about 425 parts per million. In a commercial greenhouse, they pump in 800 to 1200 parts per million. And he said that the plants would actually grow more if they pumped in more, but he said that that financially there's a diminishing returns there past 1200. But you get the point. I mean, that's three times more than what we have now, and that's desirable to get shit to grow. And so you tell me now, there are people who tell you that the problem is that more CO2 means the temperature goes up. And Dr. Moore says that hasn't been proven at all. And even the scientists that think that might be true, they're, you know, signing this declaration here. The scientists that even think that might be true, it's not that big a deal. That's the deal. Yeah, So, you know, it depends on the cause and effect. Dr. Moore said that, he said one of the biggest fallacies is the whole thing. He says it's not that CO2 causes the temperature to rise. It's that the temperature rising causes more, produces more CO2. He said it's the reverse cause and effect. So that CO2 has nothing to do with the rise of the temperature. CO2 increases because of the rise of the temperature. Now, as scientists, I'm not a scientist, but scientists can disagree. But even the people that don't agree with that statement, even if they don't agree with that concept, don't think there's any big deal here. And that's been my thing all along. I've been saying that forever. You know, not a single person is arguing the fact that the world is warming up. Nobody's arguing. Nobody is saying that's not true. Dr. Moore said it was true too. He said that, you know, the temperature across the planet has risen about 1 degree Celsius in the last 300 years. But like he also said, for half the first half of that time, there was no industrial output at all. So it was still going up. So, and he said also what I've heard other scientists say too, and that is the primary reason for the fluctuation in the climate is because of the wobble of the Earth around the sun, which is controlled by Saturn and Jupiter, kind of the same way the tides control, or the moon control the tides here on Earth. So the moon controls the tides on Earth. The rest of the planets of the solar system, especially the two big ones, control or have effect on the Earth's rotation around, or revolution around the sun. And that's what causes it. But we can debate points here. I'm not a scientist, all right? But the point is that these 1,600 scientists don't think this is any big deal at all. And I only want to point out that I don't have it here in my notes. Two of these people are Nobel Prize laureates, two of them. As a matter of fact, I think one of them is the guy Dr. Warren mentioned on the broadcast, I think, but I'm not sure. I was going to check that out. Actually, I'm going to write him and ask him if that's true. I didn't play back the, because I don't, no, I watched it. I actually did watch. Normally, I don't watch these shows because I was here, but I did watch that one. I watched it. I thought he was fantastic. You know, we had a little problem with the video. The video froze for a couple minutes in the middle. Other than that, man, but that has nothing to do with him either. And so I'm watching the Fox Business and Dagan McDowell's on. And it's really funny how this works. I don't think a lot of people or anybody in the press watches this. But I've noticed, so we talk about stuff, and then 48 hours later, the press, the alternative or the conservative mainstream press is talking about it. So Dagan McDowell is on Fox Business, and she's talking about the fact that the climate change people have pretty much blown their cover. People are starting to realize this is ridiculous. For example, here's a real example. All right, let me see. Hold on a second, I want to find this. Oh, yeah, right. The Secretary of the UN, same people who flagged our video, they said, the Secretary of the UN, General Secretary, said, we have opened the gates of climate hell, and they have said they only need, now this is honest to God truth, they said they only need $75 trillion to solve the problem. They said that's how much it'll cost to solve the problem of climate change, $75 trillion. In other words, they will solve the problem of climate change, and they will bankrupt the entire planet. That's and not only that, you know they can't do it. You know that. You know why? They're the government, and the UN is even the government. They're worse. They can't do anything. They don't do anything. I personally think we should get out of the UN. It doesn't do anything, and it hasn't done anything for a zillion years. People get up and make speeches. People go to lunch. Then they hire a hooker when they're in New York City. That's it. That's what they do. There's a whole bunch of, you know, this made the news this week or last week when they had their meeting in New York City about the fact that basically prostitutes from all over the world come to New York City for the business because they can charge a premium, because a lot of these guys come from very, very repressive countries, and they come to New York City and they basically just let loose, you know. Now, I don't have any trouble with prostitution as long as there aren't any pimps involved. You know, if some woman wants to hang her shingle out, no pun intended, And that's how she wants to make a living. If, you know, assuming she's of age and she did that on her own volition, God bless you. Go ahead. And then the other thing is, too, and I've noticed this. I mean, I've known women especially who are really, really against prostitution. But the problem is, and here's the problem, and I've noticed this about everything. And I'm sorry, I have to call women out here as by gender. Most all women seem to think that all other women think just like them. I've noticed this my entire life. It's like, so I'm against prostitution, so therefore you obviously are too. And, you know, I mean, survey after survey that have been done of, like, people in the porn industry who do sex on camera, half of them will tell you it's the worst thing they ever did and they regret getting involved and that, you know, it's like it's ruined their life. Half of them will tell you that. The other half will tell you they love the job. They love it. And it's like, you know, and so how do you reconcile that, you know? Now, you shouldn't do anything you don't want to do, you know. If you're in porn and you don't want to be in porn, God bless you, get out. I'm sorry you made that decision and you don't like it. But there's people in porn who actually like making porn, you know. I mean, there's that woman who's running, what state is that? She's running for a state senator or state representative thing, and her and her husband did porn on camera. I got to admit, I don't personally have any problem with that. The real problem is that she has kids, and that's crazy. If you're talking about, you know, if you're actually, and then she talks about the fact that she's, what was that, that revenge porn by posting online. It's already public. What are you talking about? You did this publicly. It was not even a password protected website. You did this on a public website, you know, to make money. Oh, that's fine. I don't have any problem with that, but you can't bitch about it. You know, this is the, I mean, people are becoming just outrageous in their claim of victimhood. I just don't freaking believe it. I mean, no, honey, you did this. You and your husband did this, and God bless you. I don't have any problem with it. I don't. But you can't claim that people turned around and posted the videos that they're somehow invading your privacy. You invaded your own privacy. This has got to stop. I mean, I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that Americans seem, you want to get attention right now? Claim victimhood for something. You're a victim. I'm sure you can find something to do it, you know? Oh, man. So in the meantime, regarding the climate change stuff, the Washington Post posted a thing this weekend. You know, they're trying now, they want to outlaw air conditioning. I can't remember the name of the organization. There's an organization now that has been formed specifically to fight the Biden administration about regulating appliances. You know, they said, oh, we're not going to take away your gas stove. Yeah, they're trying to take away your gas stove. You know, we're not going to take away your air conditioning. They're going to try to take away your air conditioning. You know, it's like, it's just, first of all, it's just gaslighting. They're lying to you. I mean, all I see is people lying to everybody. That's all I see. It drives me nuts. And not only that, why are people in Congress? The vast majority, you know, somebody pointed this out this weekend, or I can't remember where I saw this. The vast majority of people in Congress are not there to better the American public. They're to better themselves. They're there to enrich themselves. They don't care about the public. And I've said this for many years, and that is, politics in America is for losers. If you failed at pretty much everything, you can go into politics. You know, the whole thing is the Woody Allen joke. If you can't do, you teach, and if you can't teach, you teach gym. And if you, here's my addition to that. If you can't teach gym, you're going to politics. That's basically the way it is. Have you seen these losers that are our representatives? You know? Now, I'm going to segue to this, even though this wasn't next on my rundown. You know, the Senator Menendez has been, you know, now he's a freaking loser too. You know, he's gotten caught supposedly 3 indictments about, bribery for $480,000, I think is what the actual charge is. So has it occurred to you that right now Comer's Oversight Committee has verified that the Biden family took in at least $20 million off of selling quote-unquote foreign influence? They actually think it's 50, but they have proof. They have bank receipts for $20 million. So can you do some math? $20 million versus $500,000. Well, that's 40 times, isn't it? Holy shit, I figured that out on my own. So has it occurred to you that the reason, and you know, Menendez says this, and here's the real weird thing. He may be a grifter, but he also may have a point here too. In other words, he may be guilty, but like, why now? Why, you know, why are they, you know, they just figure this out? There's a lot of people who think that the Biden administration is throwing him under the bus as a distraction. So, you know, now we're talking about this, don't, you know, here the left hand is doing this, the right hand is doing, is pulling rabbits out of hats. And I think there might be something to that. It's like, you know, okay, and that's a really weird thing. He may be guilty. There's a good possibility he's really guilty that he did this. Like, you know, I mean, shit, how many people in Congress aren't on the take? I mean, Nancy Pelosi, $100 million later, and she's running for another term. She's been in Congress 42 years. Did you hear me? 42 years. She's 82 years old. Does she need to do this? No. She doesn't need, there's no reason she needs to do this other than her ego. That's it. And I don't even know if that, if it's that, you know? So, you know, is Menendez guilty? I don't know. We'll find out. You know, we should presume he isn't. I mean, I'm really tired. Like, Russell Brand got accused by four women of sexual assault. Although even none of these things happen, they're all at least 10 years old. And so I'm reading today, I'm reading about some woman, and she runs a rape crisis center. And she said, you don't understand, it's really hard to come forward if you've been assaulted, because people don't believe you. You end up being the victim, you know, you're victimized twice, all this sort of stuff. And I know that's actually true, but there's another problem too. We don't know if you've been assaulted unless you tell somebody, right? And that be somebody be the police. I can't read your mind. It's like, if you want justice, you have to tell someone. And okay, so let's say it takes you even 5 years. All right, fine. But we're talking about people are making allegations that are 10, 20, 30 years old. I mean, the allegation against Brett Kavanaugh was at least 30 years ago. I think it was longer than that. Well, no, I'm sorry. That doesn't cut it. I don't care how hard it is. Life is hard. You got to do hard shit, you know? It's like, we can't read your mind. There's going to be no justice unless you tell someone. And I hope you're listening to me here. I know it's difficult. I know people are going to poo-poo you. I know the police might treat you like shit. I know that you might be victimized twice by your family and friends. I understand all that stuff. You still have to do it. Because if you've been legitimately raped, these men need to be brought to justice. It's not men 99% of the time. So that's the thing. It's not easy. Nothing's worth doing is easy. I would like, you know, so I'm getting off track here. I don't really care. Baltimore today, in Baltimore, 13 high schools. We're probably talking about roughly 10,000 kids. Not a single one of them passed this math exam. Not a single one of those 10,000 kids in 13 schools passed the math exam. Folks, anything in life worth doing is hard. You can't escape it. You might as well embrace it. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, you think you're going to cruise through life? Well, Hunter Biden can cruise through life because his dad's the president, and he's a scumbag, too. You know, he's making art. Yeah, tell me about it. Have you seen his art? Like, what a great grift. I mean, what a great idea. You're like, we'll charge people $500,000 for these art pieces, and we won't tell anybody who they are. Because then I won't know. Well, yeah, fuck you. Nothing in life worth doing is easy. Nothing. You might as well just embrace doing. Here's my thing. Pick your poison. You know, yeah, everything's hard, but you probably have a natural inclination towards something more than others. You probably, everyone does, just by the makeup of your personality. I seem to be relatively good at what I'm doing here. This seems to be a talent of mine, you know, and especially the fact that I can go on for 75 minutes without a break. I got to talk to a friend of mine today on the phone. He's saying, how the hell do you do this? I don't really know. Yeah. I entertained myself. That's how I do it. But still, you know, that's my point. It's like taking, I've practiced this a lot, and I'm highly critical of my own performance, highly critical, because, you know, it's like people, you know, you want to watch, I want you to see a quality show. There's so many shows. There's so many people doing what I'm doing, you know. I mean, so far, after 8 weeks, it seems to be working out. We'll find out. But my point is, yeah, this is not easy. It's not even just doing the on-air part, the live part. It's like they're booking guests, and I've said this before, booking guests isn't hard, but it's extremely time-consuming. Because the thing is, it's back and forth and back and forth, and sometimes you're dealing with agents and reps. You're not necessarily actually dealing with the person you're going to talk to. It's really, really complicated. That's why I'm telling, like I said, I think I have a guest tomorrow. I'm not 100% positive. I don't like to announce it unless we actually have it confirmed. We just confirmed the thing with Jeffrey Meyer on Wednesday about 4 hours ago. So anyway, so the deal is pick your poison, and no matter what it is. Also, the other thing I have to tell you too is you can't delude yourself, you know? Okay, you want to play professional basketball? So here's the deal. About 0.5%, that's one out of every 200 people in Division I NCAA basketball end up in the pros. Those are the people in Division I, not even Division II or III. The people in Division I, only one out of every 200 players makes it to the NBA. And it's, unfortunately, it's as much, in many instances, as much circumstances and even luck as it is skill. I mean, I would like to think that if you're that good, someone will notice somewhere. But I have to tell you this. I was in music, in professional music most of my life, and I heard an interview with Madonna, who I find kind of fascinating, but not necessarily as a musician. I mean, I don't know how talented she is musically. And I think this is what I think, and that is, the end of the day, the Vogue video will end up in the Museum of Modern Art, and people will still be watching that 100 years from now. But other than that, her music is not going to survive at all. And still, I can even make a point, hasn't to this day, even from 40 years ago. But she said something in an interview a few years ago that I found really, really prescient. Somebody asked her, the interviewer asked her, she said, is all talent recognized? And she said, well, if you'd asked me before 1980, I would have said yes. But since then, I'm starting to think that there's a lot of truly talented people who, because of whatever reason, never get an opportunity. And I have noticed that too. And I think it has to do with the fact that there's more people on the planet. You know, there's more people now than there were 50 years ago. But in many ways, there's not that many more opportunities. You know, you're talking about, like, for example, like in the music business, you want to get a recording contract, you want to hit record. That's really not how it's done anymore, per se. Now it has a lot to do with social media. However, I do have to tell you this too, and I know this for a fact, 95% of the music shit you think is viral online is actually meticulously planned by some marketing or publicity firm. Almost all of it. And yeah, you think, oh, you know, I stumbled into this person, or they posted, you know, they're, you know. Now this is the irony. Justin Bieber actually did really happen. He posted his videos on YouTube, and Scooter Braun actually saw him, and the next, you know, he's rich and famous. But most of the time, those things are engineered. And I know nobody wants to believe it. I've tried to tell this to people. I've heard, that couldn't happen. No, trust me, it does. I know for a fact it happens. But she said, my point is that there are not really many more opportunities, and that's partly because of the way humans' brains think. There's only about 10,000, your brain, the average human brain, can only keep about 10,000 people straight in their head. This is a limitation of literally the cranium function. It's the limitation of your brain, your brain processing. And so it's not like if there's more people, there's more records or more recordings or more songs, because you can't remember more songs. You can remember, it's like the same thing. I've heard the same statistic. The average person knows the lyrics, or partially the lyrics, to about 10,000 songs. And beyond that, if you want to learn any more, you're pushing some out. You know, now there's people who, I don't understand how people do this, like Donald Trump. Donald Trump, because of what he's done for a living, not even the politics thing, even before that, he's probably met so many more people than I have. I don't even know how you keep that straight. And I know I have met more people than the average person. And I have way more. And yet I look at guys like Trump. I don't see how they even do it. And who else would be a good example of that? At the top of my head, I can't think of one. But, you know, but Trump probably knows like 50,000, 100,000 people. I don't know if I know that many, but I know I probably know more than you. But my point is, so what Madonna was saying is that, yeah, in days past, when there are less people on the planet, it was easier to make your mark. Now it's getting harder and harder, although we're slowly meeting. What did I just read the other day? Is that in 70 years, at the end of the century, population on the planet, not only in the United States, is probably going to top out. It'll probably start going down. Just because less people around the planet are having babies, and they're having less babies. So what was my point there? What am I talking about? I'm talking about, yeah, things are hard, and I was talking about, you know, you have to find your niche and pick something that you, oh, that's what I was talking about. I was talking about the fact that you can't delude yourself because, you know, like if you're good at basketball, you might have to be really, really good at basketball. I mean, and you stop and think about this too. Michael Jordan, who's arguably the best basketball player in history, maybe not anymore. Maybe it's LeBron. I don't know. But he's certainly up there. He was kind of a slow starter. You know, he almost didn't make his high school basketball team. It's the same with Tom Brady. Tom Brady was drafted something like 135th in an NFL draft. He barely made it. He barely made it. Now he's considered the best quarterback ever. So a lot of people develop earlier in their life, too. It's just crazy how this goes. But my advice to you, and I'm really seriously, my advice is you seriously pursue something worth pursuing. And I know right now with equity and all this bullshit, it's like people, you know, the equity thing must die. The thing about the fact that all outcomes should be equal, nothing will kill the civilization. I don't just mean America. I mean the whole fucking Western civilization. Nothing will kill it quicker than that, because then there's no incentive for anybody to do anything of any value. Yeah. You want communism? There you go. Yeah, we'll all share in this together. No, we won't. No, it won't work, folks. You know, all my friends talking about democratic socialism, that's bullshit. It won't work. And that's the problem. It's a great idea on paper. That's the problem with communism. Communism on paper looks fantastic. There's only one problem. It doesn't work. And I can tell you why it doesn't work. Well, there's two particular reasons. It does not recognize the human desire for possession. Even little babies know when something belongs to them. People know when they own shit. And communism tries to tell you, oh, you don't own anything. The state owns it all. We're just going to lend it to you. No, that's not the way humans think. And yeah, you can go on about greed, all that sort of stuff, all those terrible vices. Yeah, all that stuff's terrible. But the fact of the matter is they work better than communism does. That's the problem. Capitalism is a very, very, very flawed system. Very flawed. It's still better and works better than communism and socialism. That's the terrible part about humanity, is that all this shit we've come up with is really, in some ways, it's like less degrees of awful. You know, nothing really works well, nothing. But, and the other thing about communism is that it does not recognize the concept of incentive, that some people think if I work harder, I'll make more, I'll get more. Now, that doesn't always work out in the real world, but as a general concept, it does work as a general concept. And communism doesn't recognize that either. And so that's the problem we got going on here. I just got off track. What's wrong with me? Oh, and so now I better mention this, because this is what we put in the promo for the show today. So Washington Post does a poll this weekend. Trump is beating, in their poll, Trump is beating Biden by 10 points. And he, of course, they couldn't handle this. So even they said that, well, we think our poll is kind of an outlier. No shit. You do, huh? Because you can't handle that. Biden's numbers have never looked worse. They're going down and down and down. He's gonna completely crater. I mean, if nothing changes on the trajectory we're on right now, if Trump and Biden end up running against each other, it looks like Trump is going to kill him, let alone squeak one out. That's what it looks like right now. Now, I think things will change because things always do change. There's always going to be some MacGuffin in there, somewhere. The MacGuffin was the thing in the Alfred Hitchcock movies that everyone was fighting over, but nobody really, they never really acknowledged even really what it is. So that was Alfred Hitchcock's idea. So you want the North by Northwest, great movie, fantastic. It turns out at the very end of the movie, you find out what they're actually struggling over is a piece of microfilm. But you don't know that through the entire picture. All you know is that they're after something. That's all you know. So, yeah. So anyway, yeah, Trump is ahead by 10, supposedly. Now, the other thing that happened this weekend is, now, the last I saw, apparently I think the Senate did rescind the Fetterman dress rule about the fact that you didn't have to wear business attire on the floor of the Senate. And the New York Post did a fantastic little experiment this weekend. They sent a reporter dressed the way Fetterman dresses in a hoodie and shorts and tennis shoes to these expensive restaurants in New York City, and none of them would let him sit down. None of them gave him a table, you know. But somebody mentioned this. I think this was on a Gutfeld show. And this is really, you got to think about this. All this shit's happened in less than 3 years. So what happens, and what the liberals would like you to do, is they want to slowly relax standards for everything. For everything. I was just talking about, the fact, nothing worth doing is not hard. Same thing. It's like, okay, so those kids in Baltimore, none of them passed the math test. Not a single one. In 13 high schools. I don't know what the count of this. I'm guessing we're talking about 10,000 kids. That's my guess, roughly. I'm guessing. I don't really know. None of them passed. None of them passed it. That's bullshit. But the thing is, like I want to point out, all of this has happened in basically 3 years since Biden took office. The border, we can't get started on the border. The only thing I haven't mentioned about the border is that this last week, basically Biden admitted what was going on, and that is that they are letting people in without trying to stop anybody. He basically said that. He said it was a moral imperative that they let these people come into the United States. That's crap, too. It's complete, utter crap. If you don't have a border, you don't have a nation. It's as simple as that. And right now, the pace right now is about 10,000 people a day are coming over the border illegally. 10,000, which they figure by the end of Biden's term next year, that will be about 7 million people that have come in. And folks, that's 2% of the American populace. 2%. Now, in certain states, like in Pennsylvania, for example, all right, a lot of these people are going to be given temporary work visas. In Pennsylvania, if you have a temporary work visa, you can get a driver's license. And in Pennsylvania, if you have a driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote, which means that hundreds of thousands of illegal people will be registered to vote in Pennsylvania. That's why they did this. I've been saying this for 2 years now. That's what's going on here. They're trying to stuff the voter rolls. This is unbelievable. And I think, like Dagan McDowell was talking about the climate people, the problem is they're getting desperate. So now they're saying all this shit. John Kerry's saying all this shit about the fact that, we have to stop this now. Now they're really, really coming out with this doom and gloom crap. Even more than before, because they're getting desperate, because they realize now the public is catching on to the fact that this is a grift. And that's exactly what it is. It's all complete, utter bullshit. Yeah, you want $75 trillion, and you won't solve the problem. And I know you won't solve the problem. You know why? You're the government. That's why. All right, I was also talking about the fact that I mentioned this at the top of the show, kind of offhand, but I want to end with this. And this is kind of sad, and we're talking about more of the stuff than politics today, as you might have noticed. I'm just going to read the headline from Fox News website. Bruce Willis's wife says it's hard to know if the actor understands his dementia diagnosis. So Bruce, I don't know if you've heard this. I assume maybe you might know. Bruce Willis has dementia. He, and apparently it's pretty bad. You know, she's saying she doesn't even know if he knows what's going on. Now, the sad part about this is, I don't know about you, I've had family members who had dementia. It's terrible. And the really terrible part, at least the way I look at it, it's not actually being in dementia, it's sliding into it. I mean, when you start to realize that your faculties are going, you know, you have enough awareness to know something's wrong. She's saying that Bruce might be at the point, now I read this article too, that where Bruce might be at the point where he doesn't even know anything's wrong. And yeah, that in some ways that's blissful for the person who has the problem. But, you know, of course, you know, for your family, it's terrible. It's awful. It's sad, you know? And so I'm bringing this up because I want to make sure you guys know this. You got to love each other, you know? We have too many families who are estranged here in the country. I mean, I hear about this constantly. In my mother's building, where my mother lives, there's older couples, older men and women who basically, I've even met some of these people. They're basically estranged from their family. Their family pays no attention to them. Who knows why? I'm sure in some cases it might be warranted, you know? I mean, if you raped me when I was a kid, I probably don't want to spend any time with you anymore. But, yeah, unless it's something really serious, give it up. That's all I can tell you. It's like, you know, if it wasn't rape, or if your father did not kill your brother and you saw it, that sort of thing, you know, if it was just a matter of you married the wrong person, or you have the wrong sexual orientation, or that sort of thing. I mean, try to find forgiveness in your heart, because it's like, it doesn't last forever, folks. I was joking about it. You know, seriously, I look at myself. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be 68. People on both sides of my family live forever. I mean, forever. It's fucking unbelievable. Three of my four grandparents lived over the age of 98, and the fourth one, if he had his stroke today, probably would have survived it. But that was in 1962, so you know they'd have shit. You know, my thing about medicine is before 1980, nobody knew anything. And seriously, you're wondering why the greatest generation, my dad's generation, the people who fought in World War II, why they don't want to go to the doctor? That's because until recently, the doctor didn't know shit. Now the doctor does. We have MRI machines. We have all this technology, you know. But they didn't know anything. But you gotta, you know. And the reason I brought that up is because, yeah, it's, you know, I'm at a point in my life where I can see the light at the end of that tunnel, that long tunnel there, and you know, love the people in your family, love the people you're with. I don't know how I could say it more concisely. And once again, anything worth doing is hard. Just do it. Pick one. You know, the problem isn't your problems. The problem is the fact that you have the ability to choose your problems. That's the thing. That's the thing that most people never learn. You have the ability to choose your problems. So choose the problems that are most conducive to your life and your personality. And I'm not even talking about work. I'm talking about everything. You know, it's like I'm talking about kids, I'm talking about your spouse, you know, whatever, if you want to go on a crime spree, I don't know, but choose the problems that you can most easily handle, and in some ways, problems benefit you because they make you a better person. So that's the point, you know, you have the ability to choose your problems. You can't avoid problems. You're always going to have them, always. The richest man on the planet, Elon Musk, has a shitload of problems. First of all, his daughter thinks she's transgender and he doesn't think so. You know, it's like all sorts of crap like that. I mean, I don't even have to go on. So, all right, folks, I guess that's our show tonight. I just got myself bummed out. So tomorrow, I think we have a guest, but I'm not sure. So I'm not going to announce it. Otherwise there's more news. When we started this show 8 weeks ago, I thought, you know, and I said this the first week, I thought maybe we'd have guests on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and on Thursday, we would just have a call-in show, just call up, you know. That's what I was thinking. Now I'm starting to think that show might be Monday. First of all, like I said at the top of the show, Jeff Meyer, the CEO of the publisher of Call News, he's going to be coming on every other Thursday. So that's That's half the Thursdays right there. But in booking this show, I've noticed that the majority of guests have avoided Mondays. I don't really know why that is. I don't know if it's because, you know, they're just trying to get their shit together over the weekend. I don't really know. But Mondays has been, so far, by far, our least booked day of the four of them in the week. So I don't know. Maybe this is going to be a good thing. Maybe we'll just ride with this. I don't know. And you didn't call me tonight. You should call. You really should. JimAtKnight.com/call. Our website is JimAtKnight.com. We have a blog running there. We post to it most days. There's links to our guest stuff, all sorts of stuff today. And I will end with this announcement, too. I forgot to put this at the top of the show. I forgot. We started broadcasting on Spreaker Live today, which is audio only. I'm not going to name our previous service because I don't want to trash them. They're a pretty good service, but technically they could not deal with our unusual demands. So we dumped them and went to Spreaker. And now we do have podcasts that are being archived. We didn't before either. We had to do it manually. Now it happens automatically. So I uploaded, I think, 6 or 8 shows from the previous batch of 18. And now, including this one, they're going to be available like minutes after we're done. So there's links on you can go to our blog. That's at JimAtKnight.com/blog. And we have a story up there, and there's links to Spreaker. You have to now, to hear our show live, you have to download the Spreaker app. That's the only way you can do it. But, you know, I really don't know if anybody's really that interested in that per se, because, yeah, I'm starting to realize this is TV. We're on television. So, you can load up Rumble on your cell phone and listen and not watch. It's the same audio feed. So we got that. So that's going on today too. A lot of stuff going on, man. A lot of stuff. I want to thank you for watching. Really, I really appreciate it. Onward and upward from here. Good night, Uncle Donnie, wherever you are. And this is the part where I run, you know, I guess it's still new. This is our end card. Here we go, folks. I'll see you tomorrow.